Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's go there. We're going to talk tonight about letting your inner man dominate you. How many know you got an inner man and an outer man? Bible says, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man's renewed day by day. You know, your outer man, he gets older every year. And so he's slowly decaying. And but you got an inner man that's alive. And he's not decaying. Matter of fact, the Bible said he's renewed in knowledge. Amen. He's renewed by feeding on the Word. And so you've got to know that, you know, because people don't know. You know, some people don't know they've been made a new creature in Christ. They weren't told that. Well, we know. I mean, we know we didn't become new on the outside. When I got up from that altar, when I gave my life to Christ, I hadn't changed on the outside, but I did change on the inside. Now, the inside started changing the way I looked on the outside. Amen. You know, because of the life of God flowing through me. My eyes weren't bloodshot all the time. I'll let you figure that out. All right. And I didn't have those issues that I had, that the damage I was doing to my body before I knew Jesus Christ, that was gone. And so, you know, things started to perk up and look a little better. Hallelujah. And you know what I'm saying? And so it does change you on the outside, but that's not where the change took place. I didn't need to lose weight in those days. But you know, if you're overweight, you get born again, you don't lose weight. Amen. If it did, I'd get born again, again and again. Hallelujah. But having no God, one lady asked me this one, this has nothing to do with the message. One lady asked me one time, she says, why can't we cast the calories out of our food? Well, here's the reason. God doesn't endorse gluttony. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
He put calories in to do what? Fuel your body. So he's not going to change his soul system because you want to overeat. Right. Oh, gosh, Pastor, why'd you have to preach that? Because you know what I'm saying. You can't be like Randy and I. He might remember this incident. Our grandmother, on mom's side, had a sister that decided she wanted to lose weight. So there was these Slim Fast shakes. So you remember that, Randy? She was drinking those Slim Fast shakes and gaining weight. She, I don't understand why I'm gaining weight. Because she didn't understand it was supposed to replace your meal, not go with your meal. There's a way these things operate. So she's drinking them like, these. You know what I'm saying? Like automatically you're supposed to lose weight because you drink these things. No, you got it. I can't even remember her name. Anyway, doesn't matter. But she was our aunt, or actually great aunt. But anyway, you know, God put that in the system, right? Yes. Amen. God, when you were born again, you became a new creature in Christ. Yes. Everything, the old passed away. Yes. Talking about on the inside of you, you know. Yes. Now, you still have your flesh to deal with, yes. Right? And Paul said, you know, there's still desires in us that are of the flesh that we have to keep under. Paul even said in Romans, he said, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So you have the propensity in your flesh to do the wrong things if you let it go. But if you let your inner man rule, then the flesh doesn't dominate and its voice is very weak. Amen. Amen. But if you don't learn to put that, if you don't learn to do what the Bible says, put on the new man, that voice of your flesh will take over your life and run your life. Even if you are a believer, it'll run your life. You have to learn to make your inner man the dominant one in your life. He's going to lead me. He's going to guide me by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to make my inner man strong.
Amen.
Amen. Most people wouldn't think about, and you know, and I'm kind of this way. I've had Phyllis to say, well, you know, I just skipped lunch today. Or maybe she's even told me, I've heard people say, I forgot to eat that lunch today. I'm like, I don't know how you do that. I always remember that.
Yeah. Amen. Come on now. That's good.
But I think you must have your flesh under control. Come pray for me. Because mine will tell me, hey, 12 o'clock, yeah. Come here. Lunchtime. Now, I've got it trained it doesn't get breakfast because I'm not giving you three times to overeat. You're not going to get three chances at it. So I don't even give it that to you. I just have coffee. But you understand that if you don't let your inner man be dominant, your outer man will rule you. And when it does, you're in trouble. You're what Paul calls a carnal Christian. So he said you could be a believer and walk as mere men, mere unchanged men. Which means if we are in Christ, we're not mere men any longer. We're born again men and women of God. We have something on the inside of us. It's 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times, a quadrillion times stronger than anything the devil has. I mean, there's not even any comparison. But he will rule your life if you don't let your inner man dominate you. Amen? See, this scripture, the Bible talks about the hidden man of the heart. So there's an outer man, there's an inner man. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. The more you let him dominate, the more peace you have, the more happiness you have, the more blessing you have. I mean, it's just a richer life. Amen. You don't be like Esau and sell your birthright for a bowl of beans. Amen. Did you find 1 Thessalonians? All right. Chapter 5, verse 23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, notice this, and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he talks about man being spirit, soul, and body. You know, your spirit, that's the real you on the inside. Your soul, we could say it's your mind, your will, your emotions. Your body, we know what that is, right? So he prayed for it to be preserved blameless. Well, you know, we do this by, number one, we keep our body under. We bring it into subjection. We make it obey, right? Us. And so we bring our body under. Our soul, we could say, when you renew your mind, it takes care of your soul. If you know your mind, it takes care of your will and your emotions, right? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. It'll take care of those things. You when you renew your mind. But your spirit man, so you keep your body under, you keep your mind renewed, but your spirit man, you keep your spirit man fed. He has to be fed. He has to be fed spirit food. Just like your body has to be fed natural food, see. And you know something as easy as this, lifting up my Bible. I mean, if you do that long enough and you don't eat, you're going to wear out. It's going to come to an end. Well, this is the problem with a lot of times with believers is their bodies are in control because their spirits are so emaciated. Amen. And now let me say something to you, because we'll read the scripture in a minute if we have time. But you have to take care of the spirit man. Even though he's born again in the image of God, he still has to be fed. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah. And I've heard people say, well, your spirit man can't be any stronger, can't be any weaker. But I'm going to show you scripture that disproves that. Because he can be stronger. He's stronger when he's in control of your life, when he's dominating you. Amen. And because he has created an image of God. He's going to do the right things. Amen. That's why you got to renew your mind. How many know that? Because your mind makes your decisions. You know, you're walking along. You're going down the mall. And you walk by the men's store. I don't even know there's a men's store in the mall any longer. Probably not. But you walk by the men's store and you see that suit on that dummy, and then your body says, hey, that'd look better on you than that dummy. And sometimes that's not the truth. I found that out. It was like, that looked better on the dummy than it does on me. And so The body tells the mind, figure out a way to get that. The mind says, well, we don't have any cash to buy that. Oh, we got Visa. It's accepted everywhere. But yet you know you shouldn't be doing that, right? I'm saying it's wrong to buy something with a credit card, but it's wrong to do it if it's going to break you up. You don't have the money to pay for it. Right. Amen. Yeah. You got to learn. You got to watch credit cards. We're going everywhere today. You got to watch credit cards. You know that? Yeah. Phyllis and I pay with a credit card, but we have the money already in an envelope ready to pay that because we get money back. I mean, sometimes what do you get, $100 a month or something? Not a month. A year? Depending on the time. Well, not even more than that, though, a year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got 1,000 a year? It doesn't matter. It's none of your business. But anyway, I'm teasing. But I'm just saying, so, you know, if they're going to pay us to use their card, okay, we'll do it. But you're not getting any interest off of us.
That's right. Absolutely.
As soon as that bill comes in, that's paid for. Now, I don't know. I guess they make their money from the retailers or something because they're not getting it from us. And if it's just if Visa depended on Mark and Phyllis Pearl, they'd be bankrupt.
Some of the vendors pass it along.
Anyway, they make some money. You know that, right? Come on. So anyway, but you know, you say, here's what happens, and your spirit man will say, no, you don't need to do that right now. You don't need to buy that right now. And your body will say, oh, go ahead, get that for me. See, your spirit's talking to your mind. Your body is talking to your mind. Now, if your mind's not renewed, it'll sign in with your body.
Right.
If it's renewed, it'll sign in with the spirit man. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to keep your mind renewed with the word.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. But notice he put it spirit, soul, and body. He didn't put it, some people quote it body, soul, and spirit. But really, Paul put spirit, soul, and body first because the spirit man is the most important part of you. Because your spirit's going to live on forever. One day, your body's going to be put in the grave so the Lord tarry, right? Nobody wants to admit. It's still going to happen. I know I have a church that believes we're going to live forever. But you're not in the natural if the Lord tarries. It's just going to happen. Amen. I got my grave plots this week. I called Phil and said, oh, you ought to see this place. You're going to love this place. There's trees around here. There's a lake across and a fountain. It's just, you're going to like this place. How many know it doesn't matter? How many know that? It doesn't matter what you, where, you know, we're respectful because God made the body. How many know that? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I get eaten by an alligator. I'm still coming back. Praise God. God's going to, your DNA's in the earth. How many know that? See, people know, how could that happen? How could God, because your DNA doesn't ever leave the earth. Apostle Paul's DNA is still in the earth. God knows where it's at. He's going to bring it back, and it's going to be a resurrected, glorified body. But Paul put our spirit first, then their soul, then our body. But see, a lot of times people live their life, even believers, body, soul, and spirit. They're more interested in taking care of their body than their spirit. I've said it before. If you'll pay more for a steak than you will for some teaching, I don't even know what I can say now. I can't say tapes because nobody buys those. I can't say CDs because they don't buy. I don't know what you do now. But anyway, I'll use the CD. You pay more for a steak than you will a CD series. Your priorities are wrong. Your spirit man's more important. I used to buy the cassette tapes by boxes, man, just to feed my spirit. We finally decided, we'd stored them for I don't know how many years. We had I don't know how many crates full of those we had. We stored them. Finally, one day we realized this era is over. We can cry about it. We can be sad about it, but it's gone. It's gone. They're not making cars with cassette tape players in them any longer. They're just not doing it. So we finally gave them all away to somebody, just loaded them down. I don't know what they did with them. I think they still had a cassette player. But, you know, we used to buy those, and then it went to CDs. And I'm just feeding on. I still do it today. I still got CD sets sitting by my chair upstairs in my study. You know, I got it in my bathroom when I go in there. You know, I've got plugging somebody in. But I'm going to feed my spirit man. Just like I feed my body, I'm going to feed my spirit man. Amen. And so it's important. And, of course, worshiping God like we did tonight feeds your spirit man. Sure. All those spiritual things. Feed your spirit man. Amen. Now, let's look at some things. Is this okay tonight? Let's look at some things here. Well, let me just say this to you. The challenge in life for the believer, this is the challenge, is letting the inner man be strong and allowing him to dominate you. That's the challenge. Not just letting your flesh always have its way. Amen. You know, go to Hebrews chapter 5. Your flesh doesn't want to do anything sometimes, and you just got to make it. You're going to pray, you're going to church, you're going to read the Bible, you're going to fellowship with God, you're going to worship. Your mind will do that to you. I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what you feel like, see. Somebody asked Wigglesworth one time, Smith Wigglesworth said, "How do you feel, Mr. Wigglesworth?" He said, "I don't ask me how I feel. I tell me." Amen. You know, you ask your body, you want to get up and go to church? No, I don't think so. You can't. How many know there are believers, let that dominate them. Yeah. Right? They don't have a real excuse. Their mother-in-law didn't move in. That'd be a good reason to go to church. All right, it's a joke. I had a good mother-in-law. Praise the Lord. Anyway, my point is that you can't let the body talk to you. There's times that, I mean, I wouldn't go preach sometimes. You say, "Oh, pastor just always wants to go preach." No, not necessarily, man. I remember I used to preach at a church years ago, and it was about, 2.5 hours north of here. And I would do our Sunday morning service, and then I'd go up there and do their Sunday night service. Well, in between there and here was my mother's house and some really good food. Does anybody know what food and Sunday equal? What's it equal? Snoring, right? Nap. And so, man, I'd eat mom's food, you know, and just sit there and I think, "Oh man, I don't want to go up there. I just want to take a nap." And I'd tell Phyllis, "Go up there and preach for me, will you?" She'd be like, "Pastor holds Phyllis back. Are you kidding me? I'll try to get her to go." "Oh, pastor's just keeping her back from preaching." I would like for her to do it. I would take off. Wouldn't I? I tried to get you. I'd say, "Honey, go up there and preach for me." She said, "I'm not going if you're not going." My flesh didn't want to go. But see, I'm not listening to my flesh. I've got a mandate from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He called me to preach his gospel. He called me to teach the believers. He called me to help present people perfect and complete in Christ Jesus. So I'm not going to let my flesh tell me, "You're not going because I'm tired." Amen. I'm going to get him go. Amen. Amen. So that's the way you got to deal with it. You got to let this inner man rule. You know, the outer man said, "Oh, I want that." "Well, you ain't getting that." "Well, why not?" "Because I say so." What'd Paul say? He kept his body under. What? Subjection. He said, I keep my body under. Who's the I? Well, must not be his body. Must be his inner man. I, the inner man, keep my body under. Hallelujah. He told the church at Rome, first chapter, I serve God with my spirit. Amen. My body just has to follow along. Amen. Now, all right, did you find, look at this Hebrews chapter 5. Paul said in verse 11, Hebrews 5:11, "Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, saying you are dull of hearing." See, when you don't allow your inner man to dominate you, you become dull of hearing. And why is it? And I know why it is, because I've learned. But why is it? Here's a question. Why is it that, you know, you can go to a church service and the man or woman of God is delivering a really good message from the Word of God, and some people are disinterested in it? Christians. But you can tell they're not interested, really. They just showed up. But yet others are sitting on the edge of their seat and hungry. Well, one's letting their flesh rule them. One's letting their spirit rule them. That's the difference. Because your inner man is hungry for God's Word. I've learned this a long time just dealing with people. That most people, if they would just feed their spirit man, the depression and oppression would leave their body. Because all they're really feeling is their spirit man's oppressed because he's not being fed. He wants to be fed. And so you got to stay hungry.
Amen.
Yeah. We got sent a video, that's been a few weeks ago now, of our great-granddaughter getting her first strawberry. Oh, she liked that. That's the way you got to be at the Word. Mm-mm. Amen. So he said, dull of hearing. Now look at this. He said in verse 12, he said, for the time when you ought to be teachers. So you ought to know enough. How many know? Some people, they've been at this long enough, they ought to be able to teach people some things. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And to become such as have need of milk and not strong meat or solid food. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat or solid food belongs to those that are full age, even those who by reason of use or they've been using the word have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you can literally, when you don't put your spirit man first, you become dull of hearing. And you know, I know people think, well, it's them, they're just not feeding me. But a lot of times it's because you're not putting the spirit man first and you're not hungry. I mean, it's easy to feed a hungry person. You know, sometimes we say, I'm starving to death and we're months away. You know what I'm saying? But how many know, when you get hungry enough, you're not as picky.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. You might eat broccoli. Probably would if you hadn't eaten for about 3 weeks. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. And so it has to do with your condition, your spiritual condition. Remember, Jesus talked about one church, he said, you're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. And so, why were they lukewarm? Because they were so full of natural stuff. Now, God wants us blessed, but he doesn't want us full of that. Amen? You know, there may be times in our lives where we need to unload some stuff if it's hindering us spiritually. Some people got more toys than they need because it takes too much of their time. Yeah. We had at the Revival Center, we had Brother Eddie and I prayed for a guy. I've told you this story before, but Brother Eddie and I prayed for a guy to get a better job. He got a better job. We didn't see him all summer. He bought a boat. Didn't come to church. He didn't qualify for prosperity. See? I mean, my Brother Eddie told me, you know, he's my superior. He said, we are never praying for anybody to get a better job again. I said, yes, sir. Now, I'm not under him now, so I can, but I think he had a real good point. It's like, they're going to do this with it, forget it. Get it on your own. We're not going to help you. Well, what happened here? See, you can get, sometimes, how many know sometimes Jesus said, he talked about that he prunes us that we may bring forth what? More fruit. See? So sometimes you have to cut some things out of your life so you can bring forth more fruit. The rich young ruler. Remember him? He came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, which? I've kept this and that and that. He said, one thing you lack. That's pretty good if you only lack one thing.
Yeah.
One thing you lack, go sell what you have, give to the poor, follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. Now people take that and think that Jesus didn't want the man to have riches. The reason Jesus did that was because riches had the man.
Yeah.
And to prove it, because when Jesus said that to him, he turned away sorrowfully and left and walked away from the master.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about it. Over money. That is really carnal. And so the man, some people think, and I don't know where they get this at, but, maybe it's true. Some people think that the guy later repented and it was Barnabas. And he got right. I hope that's so. But if the guy didn't, he didn't even make heaven. He walked away from the Savior.
Yep.
Why? Because something had him. So sometimes we have to cut things. I don't know why I'm off on this, but sometimes we have to cut things out of our life because it's taken away from our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know it on the inside, right? Nobody has to come and announce it to you. You don't have to have a prophet show up. You don't have to have a sign from heaven. You know it on the inside of you, this needs to go. this needs to go. And so you got to cut it off. Amen. Now, so these people right here, they went backwards, not forward. Why? Because they were letting their flesh dominate them. He said, if you'd feed on the word, you'd exercise yourself where you'd discern both good and evil. But I can't, you're dull of hearing. You're dull of hearing. And that's something that's on us. How many know that? That's on us. We have to, you know, it's amazing to me how people, when they do grab onto the word, they come alive and they're hungry and they want to be fed. Amen. All right, now, look with me. Here's this. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll see where we go from here, if anywhere. But you're not going to grow spiritually unless you let your inner man dominate you. You're going to stay in what Paul called a carnal state, a babyhood state. Now, God loves you. You're going to heaven, but you sure are missing some good stuff along the way, I'm telling you. You're missing an exciting life along the way. And so, I don't want to stay there. I want to go on. I want to grow. Which means I've got to realize I've got an inner man and I got an outer man. I need to take care of both of them. But it's most important that I take care of the inner man. Amen. Than the outer man. I mean, thank God for the outer man. Thank God. You know, you want to do some things, right? You want to take care of him and all that. And so, you know, you got to feed him, right? You should shower him. At least every Saturday. If you're coming to church here, do it a couple times a week. Wednesday and Sunday, all right? Well, how many know you got to take care of the outer man, right? You got to do things. But he shouldn't be the prominent one in your life. It should be your inner man. Feeding him, fellowshipping with God during the day. Amen. Yeah. Worshiping the Lord, reading his word. Amen. So he should be the dominant one because that's the one that's going to cause you to have victory in life through the Holy Ghost. See, is this making any sense?
Yeah.
See, you got to make sure you got your priorities right. See, because a lot of Christians are just carnal. Amen. You know, I'm not being critical, but I'm just making a point. How carnal we can be as a church. I drove by a church, and I could never seen this before. I drive by this church. It's local, too. I'm not going to tell you where it's at, but it's local. And they have a sign in their church yard, youth minister wanted, must be young. Man, you that's carnal. Why don't you pray and let God bring you somebody and quit advertising for any... I mean, you don't know what kind of pervert's going to drive by and say, hey, that's me. Right? And turn them loose on you. Are you crazy? You don't get near our youth or our kids unless we know you really well for a long time. It's just not happening. So I'm thinking... This is pretty carnal right here. I'm not judging the church. If that's all they know, that's all they know. But hopefully they'll learn better and not get burnt before they do. Because there's some spiritual ways to do this. God, amen. Hallelujah. God sends forth. God calls. God, you know what I mean? God does this. You know, you pray and ask God, God, bring me somebody.
Amen.
Right. The same way getting a spouse. You don't do like Ernest T. Bass said. Ernest, he said he needed to be like a gopher or something, or what was that? Muskrat. He said, I'll just be like a muskrat. Stick my head out of the hole when first female goes by, grab her. I mean, no, that's not right, Ernest T. There's a better way. That's called trust God, believe God. Amen. You know. All right. Ernest T., don't follow his doctrine. That is not the way to get married. First female goes by, grab her. What was that? One guy came into town one time on come to get a wife. Jeff Pruitt, wasn't it? Well, yeah, Jeff somebody. But anyway, he would look for girls walking by, young ladies walking by, and he'd pick them up, you know, check them out, you know. See how much they weigh. Yeah. No, and Andy had to tell him, stop, put those women down. That's not how you do this. What he thought he was going to find one that day or something. It's going to handicap child. It's going to take more than a day. Well, okay, it might take a week. No, that's not the way it works. Amen. All right, look at this, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, I've been away too long, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So you must be able to be strengthened in the inner man. Paul prayed for it to happen, didn't he? See, well, look at this, verse 20. This is a scripture that makes on coffee cups. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Notice this, but it's according to something, isn't it? What's it according to? The power that works in us. Well, didn't he just say, be strengthened with power, might? Same word. Might, power, might, verse 16, power, verse 20, same Greek word. Be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. So God's able to do abundantly above all you ask or think, but it's according to the power, the strength that's in your inner man. So there's limiters on how we live our life limits what God is able to do in our life. Those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So it isn't just all up to the Lord. We got a part to play too. We got to be hungry. We got to be thirsty. So you be strengthened with might. See, I told you years ago, it was over 10, maybe 12, 13 years ago, I was going through some trials, which we all face, you know. But they were starting to bother me. And these were like things I'd handled before. I've been through this before. This, you know, I know how to handle this kind of thing that's going on attack. But it started bothering me, and I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what's the problem here? He said, well, the problem isn't the trial. He said, the problem's your strength. And he took me to Proverbs 24:10, which said, if you faint in the day of adversity or trouble, the problem is your strength's small. It's not the problem. It's your strength. Oh, I got something out of that. I thought, yeah, I got to go spend some time with God and get my strength back, because I'd been running and doing things. And got let my spirit get a little run down. Hadn't been feeding him like I should. I hope you're getting this, because this will make a difference between how rich your life really is. Oh, yeah. Amen. It really will. Make a difference. How I want a rich life. Yeah. I don't want a superficial life. You know, you must say, I want a rich life. And you know, that's when God's you feel that pleasure of God on the inside of you. That's a richness. So anyway, he let me know. He said, your problem isn't the trouble. It's your strength. You've had this kind of trouble before, son. And I just took some time, pulled aside, and I came out of there. Man, I was strong because I got something from the Lord. Amen. You know, you ever been really hungry? You know, maybe you really were hungry. You eat, it puts some strength back into you, doesn't it? I mean, it refreshes you. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'll tell you another way we do this, and if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because Jude said you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of argument. Well, what does praying in the Holy Ghost mean? Well, Paul told us, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, he said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. And the Amplified Bible puts it this way, which is correct. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. When you speak in tongues, pray in tongues. In the spirit, you speak mysteries. Paul said, you edify yourself. Well, you don't edify your body, you edify your spirit, man. And that can have an effect on your body. Spiritual power can affect your body. Remember when, oh gosh, Elijah outrun the king's chariots all the way to Jezreel. I don't think I have it written down in this Bible, but I had it down in one of my Bibles. I checked that out one time. I thought, oh, how far was that? And I'm thinking it was like 26 miles or something like that. He outran the king. I mean, the king doesn't have clodhoppers. He's got the best horses in the land. I mean, what would you think if you went to the Kentucky Derby to watch the Derby and some guy runs out there on the track and outruns all the horses? Sign that guy up, man, for the U.S. track team, right? This is what the man did. He outran the king's horses for miles. Now, how many know he didn't do that in the natural. Spiritual power got a hold of him, got a hold of his physical body. Amen. Remember, he's the same guy that went 40 days on angel food. Well, there's spiritual power there. The same thing happens when we feed our spirit. We get spiritual power. F.F. Bosworth, a great evangelist from years ago, said, most Christians feed their hot meals, their body three hot meals a day. Most Christians feed their body three hot meals a day and their spirit one cold snack a week. We don't want to be that kind of Christian, do we? We want to be Christians that are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen. Now, why is that? Well, in Romans 10, and we won't go there, we're going to close, but in Romans 10:10, the Bible says, for with the heart man believes. So we don't believe with our head. Jesus said, if you don't doubt in your heart, remember, Mark 11, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding or your head. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. So faith, believing God, comes from the heart. So if we don't keep the spirit man strong, we're not going to have the believing faculties that we need for things to come to pass in our life. Does that make sense to you? Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God, see? But it doesn't come to you. It's not coming to your body. It's coming to your heart. For with the heart man believes. You follow that? Mm-hmm. See, you believe, you got saved because you believed Jesus Christ. You believed the story of the gospel, didn't you?
Right.
Did you ever think about in the natural how that doesn't compute with natural knowledge? A virgin conceived? Try that one on. What if we had some young lady come up in prayer line? Or she stands up here in front of the church and she's pregnant. She says, why don't you all pray for me? Now, I've never known a man. Well, darling, how'd you get pregnant? See what I'm saying? But yet this really did happen one time. That's the only time it's ever happened. But it did happen, right? That, the angel said that thing which's inside of you, that is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you'll conceive. See, in your womb, the Son of God, He was born, He died on the cross for our deliverance, right? See, none of this adds up with the human mind. It has to be received with the heart, see? You say, well, I just don't believe. Well, you can't make it because you got to believe. And that's a choice. You hear about atheists. You know, why don't they believe? Because they're operating out of their head. Man, I visited an atheist one time. We in Pike County, it's gone now. But one time, we had the world's largest atheist museum. Well, I went to it. I'm thinking, there must only be three if this is the largest one. Because it wasn't, I mean, there wasn't anything there. You know, I went in there and the guy, he's got his deal about how we evolved, you know, from the goo to the zoo to you. And, you know, he's got all that. And then he's got the atheist Bible. You open it up and it's blank pages. And he had all kinds of just nonsense in there. But I went in there. He was a great ping pong player. And so I played him in ping pong and he thoroughly whipped me. And, you know, you remember what I'm talking about, don't you, Randy? Yeah, remember that guy. Anyway, I went in there and, you know, just looked around, talked with him and all. And then he told me, he said, you know why I'm an atheist? I said, why? Because I wasn't. Even though I wasn't saved, I'm a drug user, I still believed in God. And he said, well, I'm an atheist. He said, because during World War II, he said, our ship got sunk, and I was the only one that survived it. And I'm out there on a life raft in the ocean for 2 weeks. And he said, I said, God, if you're real, appear to me. And he never did, so he's not real. And I'm just, you know, I'm not born again. I'm thinking, well, that sounds stupid to me. And it still sounds stupid to me. Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I got to thinking later about that. I thought, the fact that you made it back, You ought to be thanking God. The fact that you survived for 2 weeks out in the ocean by yourself. And here you are standing here. You better thank God from heaven that He kept you alive. That'd been enough for me to say, there must be a God. God's not going to jump at our snapping our fingers and us telling Him what to do. God, you better do this, you better do that, you better do this. Or trying to make a plea deal with Him. He responds to faith.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can't be saved without faith. So we have to keep our spirit man strong because that's where faith comes out of. And if we don't keep our... Did you get it tonight?
Yes.
I mean, you know, I still may be a little bit jet-lagged, but I think that came out clean enough that you clear enough that you understand. You got to put the inner man before the outer man. Amen. Let's stand up. Thank God for His Word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.